All right, good evening. Well, I don't have a guest tonight, so I thought I'd start a new little segment of this podcast that's called Cocktails and Craziness. It is kind of cocktail hour, and there is a lot of craziness out there. So I'm going to spend the next couple segments just going through some of the data of the day, what's been going on. And for example, one of the questions that I've had two questions come up more than I've had in the last year, and that is, oh, what do you think's going to happen the next part of the scandemic? And the next is people calling me for medical advice. So I'm going to talk about some of these things and why you don't need to be afraid. I don't think we should be afraid of those things. Now, there's some things we need to do. I'm not saying sit on your hands, but we're going to talk about all this. So don't forget to use the code REBEL, and we'll be back in a couple minutes to just tally on. Thanks.
The Brighteon store understands the importance of getting all the nutrients you need to support the healthy functions of your body. Our nutrient-dense superfoods and supplements can help nourish your body and promote your optimal health and well-being. 100% customer satisfaction guarantee on all purchases. You deserve the best. Brighteonstore.com. Support this amazing platform and amazing Patriots for Humanity.
Use promo code REBEL at checkout for additional savings.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com. Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer? Is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available. The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history, and they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with the question, what's the next phase of the scandemic? And I'm going to tell you, knowing the exact answer to that, it's just about as probable as figuring out where your Android sticks files. I can't find that out either. It seems to be random. So here's what I tell people is that we'll never know what's in the vaccines, and we'll never know what's coming out in the new vaccines or the new medications or anything, because now everything is under the PREP Act. Everything is above the account of, above anybody's accountability. There's nobody accountable anymore that we can get to, and they don't have to tell us what's in them as long as it's an emergency use. So everything's a friggin' emergency now. It's all emergency use, And so we have to figure this out like a homicide detective, just without anybody telling us the facts. We have to go looking for them and trying to look for clues. And we're not going to learn this like a precise scientific paper. We can't point to we put it in a machine and it told us there was this. So what do we do? And what's the next plan? I mean, we hear about, you know, people say, what about this Marburg? You know, like everybody's really scared about Marburg. And what about, and I'm just going to say, I think there's a lot of running around with our hair on fire when we really need to look a little deeper and say, can they really do all these things? Are they able to, are they doing it the way they think that we think they're doing it? We know that we're being attacked. We human beings are being attacked, and it's global. The issue is, what's the purpose? Now, I personally believe that they could probably zorch us off the, look at Maui. I think they could probably zorch us off the face of the earth pretty quickly if that really were their goal. And but I think the point here is that that's not really their goal. Their goal is to connect us, to use us in some way, like a big energy module or like a big brain computer, by collecting the brains together. Very quietly during COVID, when everybody was working on this, when we were all focused on all these companies coming out with vaccines, very quietly, and this is the way they do things, and this is why I'm suspicious that we're not thinking completely right here, is because they always, you know, distract you with one hand, and then they pick your pocket with the other. They're getting us to focus on things. If something has come out like Marburg in a big splashy way, I don't think that's going to be it. They might say it is, and they might call it that, but it's not what they're telling you. In other words, it's not an airborne infectious disease. It's something else. So while we were all focused on the vaccine, what were they really doing? Well, I note that Merck at the time bought InBrain Neuroelectronics or something like that. It was a company that basically was working on connecting brains to electronic devices. And this was what DARPA and the Chinese have wanted to do for decades. They've wanted to connect your brain to electronic devices, but they couldn't make it work completely. So what they did was they funded Charles Lieber at Harvard, and he worked, and he came up with silver impregnated nanogel, and voila, they were able to run electrical current through biologic cells, connect the two. So that is a big part of this, is connecting our brains one way or another to things. I mean, what I think we need to keep in mind is that virus means toxin. It does not mean a little unicorn flying out of your mouth and going to make somebody else sick. That's a great anti-human agenda. There's just no proof of it. Okay. But there's a ton of proof of electromagnetic transmission of disease. And certainly we all know at some basic level that we're being bombarded with electromagnetic waves that our great-grandparents never were. In fact, even my children are young enough to have been born in an age, and they're only in their 30s, have been born in an age when they weren't bombarded by all this cellular frequency. It's not very, you know, in the, you know, millennia of the Earth and human existence, it's only been in the last 20 some years that we've been bombarded like this with these wavelengths. And then we wonder why we're getting sick and all these things are happening. So we don't have to invoke magic flying unicorns. We just have to look at what's happening with with frequency manipulation. So now I'm just, and the point about that is that I think this is just from looking at everything, I just believe that they've been talking to us. You know, they know the people in charge here have a better grasp of the world of physics and biology and everything that we do. That's the idea of a cult. Occult knowledge is simply hidden knowledge. It doesn't mean people in black robes per se, although it can. It means hidden. So there's a lot of hidden knowledge on this earth that we're just discovering, whether it's history, how money works, lots of different things, right? Well, this is one of them, is how your body works and how it can be damaged. Is it, you know, there, if you think about the big picture, the ancients knew about two problems. They knew about spiritual issues, and they knew about toxicity. And again, Latin means toxin or poison. So it's interesting too, by the way, that in the Hippocratic Oath, one of the points that he makes is that physicians should never become poisoners. I will never give to my patient a poison, nor will I be induced to do so by someone else. So essentially he's saying, that there were people, Hippocrates in 460 AD said, huh, you're a doctor? You're probably the best person to kill people with poisons. You know more about this stuff than anybody. And somebody's going to come to you sometime in your practice and want you to kill somebody with poisons. Don't do it. That's ethically not right. Thanks for telling us, Hippocrates. Sorry that nobody's taking the Hippocratic Oath seriously these days, but that's really a big point. So when it comes to looking at all these, I mean, we can be afraid of everything. I mean, we can be afraid of all these different things, but I think we have to sort out what's really happening to us and narrow it down into big categories. I think, you know, here's what I was saying. I just went to a meeting, by the way, down in Dallas with the Brian Artis ran about healing for the ages. It was a fabulous meeting. If you have a chance to go to these meetings that they're running now, it's about common sense and commonly available therapies that you don't need to run to the doctor or hopefully the hospital for. This is something that you can start doing in your own life. And that was what made it so great. And plus they were just four great docs up there on the stage talking. But what I said when I was down there, I was talking to somebody and I said, you know, we have in our new ICD-10 code book of diagnoses, we have roughly 70,000 diagnostic codes, including silly things like, being burnt while riding flaming water skis. I kid you not. That is one of the codes. One of the codes is being pecked by a chicken. Another one is being pecked by a chicken subsequent visit. Well, we know those aren't different diseases, okay? We know that burned on flaming water skis, you're still getting burned. It's the same fire-like problem as if you got burned with a gas can explosion. So let's just be honest that there aren't 70,000 diseases. Now, how many things really bother us? So let's just take four diseases that are in that book: rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, throat cancer, and acne rosacea. Now, what if I told you that all four of them have been shown to be successfully treated with parasite medication, right? So what does that say? It says that those aren't separate diseases. They are separate manifestations of a root cause that's the same. In this case, parasites. I believe all of those are parasites. And more and more, the studies out of the NIH show you that they believe it too. So here's the point I'm making. We need to stop. In modern medicine, our failure here is that we think you have to have the precise diagnosis of those 70,000 things before we can treat you. You know, I mean, it's gotten really ridiculous, but I fell into this too. I used to send people off for treatment of for diagnosis, because I was a spine surgeon. I did neurologic evaluations. And sometimes I said, no, this isn't your spine. Let's send you off for a brain MRI and a spinal cord MRI. And when we did that, they would see these plaques. They're called plaques. And the radiologist would read the report like, there are plaques in the brain and spinal cord consistent with multiple sclerosis. Okay, you got multiple sclerosis. Now we say that as if we all know what that means and what that implies. But really what it is, it's just a radiologic sign. It's just something we see. We never ask the next question, what causes those plaques? So what we have to do is start getting to root causes. Now, in that case, Dr. McDonald, a pathologist, did very precise pathology on 10 sequential MS patients and found out 100% of these dead MS patients were infected in those areas with parasites. Sometimes it was literally visible to the naked eye. So it tells you that we just haven't been paying attention. And we're, you know, I remember years ago, somebody said the world is made up of splitters and groupers, you know, people that split things into a million different categories and people that group them together. Well, we've gone way too far into the splitting. Now it's time to get back and think about root causes. And when you do that, there are not very many things that probably make us sick. There are parasites, for sure. We know about those. Those are proven. I'm just going to tell you the proven things that make us sick. There are poisons or toxins. We absolutely know they are proven. There is EMF is one of those poisons. And there are nutritional deficiencies, which we absolutely know are proven. So when you put that together, and then obviously there are spiritual issues, psychiatric issues and things, but many of those actually turn out to be physical or psychiatric manifestations of physical disease. For example, I remember one time when I was in the Navy that somebody came in from the Naval Academy who just had become nonverbal, hadn't been able to talk, just quit talking 3 days ago. And so they assumed it was a psychiatric problem, and they sent him to the psych ward, but nobody took his temperature. Finally, when somebody bothered to take his temperature on the psych ward, he had a temperature of 103 and he had a brain abscess. So a lot of what we think of probably a psychiatric disease, there might be a lot of that that actually has another cause, not the least of which are the toxins that we've been giving our children when they're younger. So we have to look around the world and see what has really been proven. Now, what, like I say, the actual proof for transmission of viral disease is, in my opinion, unproven, but shaky at best. If anybody thinks it's real, it's shaky at best. Go back and look yourself. But here's the thing. The second part of this question is people will say, hey, I've had literally, you know, I kind of do house calls. I'm a house call doctor, not professionally. Please don't call me. I'm overrun. But I'm just, you know, friends, relatives, they call me, and that's okay. And I call and I try and help them. So it's just been running like a gauntlet recently that suddenly all these things are happening. And for anybody that's calling me, what I used to say is this: well, that's not really my specialty. I'll ask somebody and I'll get back to you and I'll try and find you a place to go. Okay. Now what I say is, have you done the 5 standard things? Because before you run off and go, you know, set your hair on fire and go to the hospital, which I'm trying to keep people out of the hospitals, what are the 5 standard things you could do that maybe would solve this? So one of them is, and I can't tell you to do this because I don't want to go to jail, but I take chlorine dioxide every day because it's the universal antitoxin. And I've got a whole protocol on how I do it on my website. And I don't fear going on trips. I don't fear hugging people, because it is so profound the way this stuff works. It gets rid of a lot of different things at low levels easily, and other things at higher levels. So it helps with parasites. It makes your gut healthier. I just can't tell you enough. It really I use it for a lot of things. So anyway, and in fact, on that regard, I got a call a few days ago. Someone said, my sister just wanted me to call and tell you this, that she started taking chlorine dioxide, and her tunnel vision resolved, her aches and pains resolved. She feels so much better. She thought that she was dying. All these bad things were happening to her. So there's a lot of stuff happening as we learn more and more about not needing standardized medicine and pharmaceutical drugs. And by the way, I'm just going to point out that the only problem with talking about chlorine dioxide is the risk of you having unexpected suicide or losing your license or something. So I'm not telling you to do this, just saying. And parasites, treating your own parasites. Again, I've got a parasite protocol on my website. I think it's below the medicalrebel.com. And EMF protection. I have a link on my site to people. I don't do this. This isn't my specialty, but this link goes to them, and they teach you what EMF actually does to the body and how it works. It's not like radiation, like ionizing radiation we use in X-rays. I'm very familiar with that. I know about ionizing radiation and atomic radiation, but this is a different thing. But it opens up channels so that ions flow through in your cells differently. And so you get jittery and there's all sorts of things. But anybody that thinks that EMF, you know, people, it's funny, people will understand that radiation's dangerous even though they can't see it, but they don't believe in EMF problems even though they can't see it, because they can't see it. It's just, hey, we got to pay attention here. And then it's very important to fix your nutrition. Again, now that I do have on my website, I have a video on how to fix these 5 things, but it's how to fix your nutrition. And essentially, we know the junk we shouldn't eat. And I learned a lot down at this. This is one of the things that this Healing for the Ages really made a point of. And that is that if you want to be healthy, you need to get control of your food and water. And I know I talk a lot about that in all platforms, because if I were going to poison the water, I wouldn't poison the city water supply. It's too difficult, but I would poison bottled water. And I might put a subtle thing in there. Oh, you mean, and because we're already poisoning the water in most cities, we're poisoning it with fluoride. Do you realize that 97% of the fluoridated people in the world are in America? There's a reason they're fluoridating us. Why aren't they fluoridating France or Israel or Russia? Well, because they didn't allow it. they had no issue than the interest in this. So we got to get control of our water, and we have to get control of our food. And one of the big problems that has just come out is all this GMO. Again, to show you how much the world has changed in the last 30 years, when my children were born, we didn't have to worry about GMO anything. We ate potatoes. We ate everything out of store. They didn't have an Apeel fake coating on it that's made from oils we don't want to ingest. That we didn't have GMO potatoes that don't look like they're spoiling, even though they're chemically spoiling. There's a lot of problems. Now, when I can tell, I know the story about the GMO potato, but it turns out it's GMO almost anything now is coming out. The GMO potato, when it was first brought out, the way they made it GMO is they didn't make it so it would not really rot. It's everything rots eventually. Well, maybe not Twinkies. That'll last in your trunk probably a year, and the bacteria doesn't see it as food. But potatoes, one of the things they took out is they took out the darkening chemical called melanin, same stuff that makes you tan in the summer. So when potatoes rot, they turn brown, right? One of the ways to know if you've got a GMO potato, because labeling is wrong, labeling is fake, that you can cut it and it never ever turns brown. Well, Dr. Blaylock just came out with a 24-page brochure that I think he gives you if you sign up for his site or something. But I'm actually going to do that, I think, because this is really important. And what I realized is that and I learned this, I guess this part I knew before. There was an Italian researcher who looked at GMO potatoes just because he had been looking at wheat. And he knew that the semi-dwarf modern wheat with all its toxins in there is very devastating to your immune system because it damages the bowel. And your bowel is your immune system's biggest organ. Also, it causes leaky gut. Now, when you eat wheat, it causes leaky gut because it has these chemicals. Mostly it's gliadin. It's really not the gluten. We talk about a gluten-free diet. It's really not gluten. It's gliadin. And when you eat this diet, what happens is it makes tiny little holes in your bowel. And so essentially, it's like connecting your outflow of your toilet to your drinking water. If you think that's a good idea, go ahead. But I don't think that's a good idea for me. So this is connecting the inside contents of your bowel to your blood supply. Okay. And they've shown that in certain neurologic things that as this chemical from the inside of your bowel, as the level goes up in the bloodstream, you get more of these neurologic deficits. Surprised at that. Well, so anyway, that's one of the problems. But GMO food is generally like wheat. It damages the bowel. It does all these things. And there was an Italian researcher that tried to scream at this. He had been doing this research. He already had the rat lab. He started feeding the rats the GMO potatoes. And guess what? They started getting the leaky gut, the immune system damage, and they died prematurely. Now, Dr. Blaylock just codified that, or just reported on this codification study that looked at rats. Now, they brought the GMO food to us after only 90 days of human trials. Right? Like we're only going to live for a couple of years like mice? No, we want to live a good long life, right? If you're going to be eating this stuff for your life, we need to know what's going on. We should not really allow them to manipulate our food in any way like this, but they have, and now we've got it. So when you eat GMO food and you feed it to rats, nothing. So they said it was safe for humans because they only did 90 days of testing. When they feed it to rats, it significantly shortens their lifespan. In 50% of the men, the male rats, I should say, it gave them liver and kidney problems. And the big problem in the female rats was breast cancer. Now, just like the potatoes, I mean, just like the fact they only did 90 days before they put it on the market, same thing. Like in Europe, the guy who wrote the paper on the potatoes and the GMO foods causing all this bowel stuff, he couldn't get any of it published. And they couldn't get it published until they had already accepted the GMO potatoes. So that's what's going on here. So the way you're going to fix your nutrition is you're going to source your food locally, you're going to grow your food, you're going to control your water. Dr. Group, that was his first thing, control the water. You have to control your water. And I guess of all things, I'm a little bit lack on that because I tend to be out and about and I don't grab bottled water. I tend to get something at Starbucks or something, you know, to drink tea, but it's not safe, really. We really should probably deal with having our own water. Now, I have a little minute left. So I'm just going to say that in the next part of this, I want to talk about just a little follow-up about Maui and the global land grab, because that's really what this is about. This is a global land grab, and it's getting really ugly. It's not just about Maui, it's about all of us. And I'm going to talk about the FEMA disaster resilient zones. If you haven't heard about that, I'll give you the website and you can see if you are one of them. They've designated 438 of these community disaster resilience zones. I have a feeling that R actually stands for relocation zones. These are our smart cities. And in fact, I have 43 seconds. Here it is. You can go to arcgis.com. And then there's like /. It's on that site. You can get to a map, an interactive map, and you can see if your area is one of those relocation zones. Because I don't think people are going to survive well if they decide to herd us all into pens. Okay. You don't herd free people into pens. You herd animals into pens in order to either vaccinate them or to murder them or to do something to corral them into some particular use. So I wouldn't let yourself have that happen to you. So we'll be back in a little bit. Don't forget to use the code REBEL, and we'll finish out talking about land grab and AI a little bit. Thanks.
SAT123.com, they have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency. Which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. If you don't want to eat GMOs and pesticides in your storable food, choose organic, lab-tested storable food solutions from the Health Ranger store. We are the only emergency food manufacturer in the world that subjects each of our ingredients to rigorous laboratory testing that covers herbicides, heavy metals, aflatoxins, identity testing, and bacteria tests, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold. At healthrangerstore.com, you'll find certified organic, lab-tested, freeze-dried fruits, microalgae superfoods, protein powders, and supplements. We offer emergency first aid colloidal silver products made with Texas rainwater, and our Ranger buckets feature an impressive assortment of organic storable food items professionally vacuum sealed in heavy-duty bags that are stacked in rugged buckets for long-term storage. Check out our preparedness foods, supplements, personal care, and emergency first aid products at healthrangerstore.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, and we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Okay, thank you. So the second part here of Cocktails and Craziness, we're going to talk about, I just want to follow up a little bit about Maui. You know, clearly Maui is part of this land grab, and it can be much more than that. But I think I mentioned last time or some time ago that I'm a laser operator. And when I saw that to me, the whole thing can be explained with laser technology. And we know that the Air Force has it. So we know that militaries around the world probably have airborne laser technology of some sort. I can't talk about. But I will tell you that I hear people talking about what, you know, I'm just going to reprise this because I wanted to add a couple things that we now know. You know, the idea that why the temperature got the aluminum and didn't get the plastics, and why the why the trees weren't all that scorched when they were compared to the houses. Well, and why the blue umbrellas and the blue roofs didn't get hit. Well, the reason is because this is a 1064 laser. And there are only four things you can change, or three things really you can change in lasers. You can change the wavelength. You can change the spot size, meaning how big an area you hit. You can change the speed of the hit, which influences the depth of the hit. And you can choose the fluence, the power of the hit. So the one thing you can't do is mix wavelengths. So it turns out that wavelengths have different propensities. So the reason that you can find something melting a car, but a plastic tricycle next to it didn't melt, has to do with oscillatory resonance. So you resonate the atoms within the metallic car, and it heats up and melts. But because the wavelength goes right through plastic, it won't do it. This is the same principle that allows us to take tattoos off that are metal-based through your skin and not damage your skin. Okay, so a 1064 laser just turns out it won't hit blue very well. And so that's why I think that's what's going on. Plus, when it first started, you heard people say there were this loud banging, like a pop. Our little laser goes pop, 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 pop. Theirs goes wham, 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 wham. But that's what it does. And if you looked at those two cars, you could see the spot size. Ours is 10 millimeters at the most. Their spot size was a lot. You could see it kind of damaged the grass a little bit around it, kind of dulled it, but it mostly hit that car, but it didn't get the plastic tricycle. So I think that's what's going on. Now, why is, and the one thing that I'm hearing, and you can look at this picture, it's true, when you go back in time, there were a whole bunch of school buses there before the whole thing started, before the rollout. And then afterwards, you don't see all the school buses. There are only like three or four left. Where'd they go? Then you also, there are pictures now coming out of these big lift military type helicopters that can lift a cargo container. And in a cargo container, you could put apparently a lot of kids in a school bus. I don't know about that, about keeping kids cool in a cargo container if you're exiting a fire zone. But we saw those things coming out and the buses are gone. So it's possible that there's two parties involved in this little shenanigans in Maui, and that we've got good guys on the side trying to minimize the damage. Could be. I think so. But I do want to say something about the land grab. Now, we've heard, and I mentioned, I'm going to mention this about the smart cities. There's a ton of information about this now on the FEMA site, these disasters resilience zones. And what they claim is that they're going to get a lot of money. If you declare yourself, if you go along with this and you let yourself be declared a disaster resilience zone, you're going to get a bunch of money from this federal corporation. But that comes with a lot of rules. So let's just think about what the FEMA rules are for this. It allows our de facto government to take over all models of transportation and control of highways and seaports. It allows the government to seize and control communication media. It allows the government to take over electrical power, gas, petroleum, fuel, and minerals. And it allows the government, this is an emergency, and we're always in an emergency these days, to take over all food resources and farms. And the idea of these is that, we pick out those areas that are the most at risk, but, you know, is that really what they're doing? Or are they just going to, I don't know. I don't know the whole story, but I can tell you that I know we have two counties in Iowa. They're Linn County's one and Crawford County's one. I would personally not want to be involved in that. But I'm going to tell you something about land grab the old fashioned way. So I watched the thing with Maui, and this is from a letter I wrote to the news, my local newspaper, one of the local newspapers, because I'm worried about them coming to rural. Right now it's in the big cities. It's in the big and California and places that the elites might want to live. But ultimately the plan here obviously is to get those little people like me off our land so that we can't grow a garden and can't have cattle and we have to move into these 15 minute cities. And the way they're going to do that is different. You know, the Uber elite, the smart cities and pod homes are part of the plan. And we could call these places work camps, these cities, but this plan has a multi-pronged attack. So they're coming with this fake eminent domain for the CO2 pipeline. And the government and the Uber elites are purchasing big tracts of land through anonymous intermediaries. I know there's a group in Nebraska now that are trying to warn the farmers, do not sell your land out because your children are going to be selling it to the Chinese and to other people they don't know that are foreigners that are coming in to take over our country. It may be true. I believe it is. But there are also these, what we saw in Maui, like the man-made fires and floods that are being passed off as naturally occurring catastrophes. But here's the one I just want to bring out, and it has to do with taxation. Now, recently, we had a bond we've had, I think, five or six votes in my little county my little city over a school bond. Okay. It's a huge bond for a small number of people. And they always sell it as if it's not, oh, you're going to get, it's such a good deal. Okay. Now, why are these people from New York coming out spending months on this project in a little tiny town? Right. It's because this is one of the ways that they can get people off their land. And so they do it without using the ugly tax word. They couch the new taxes as improved education, safety, and a new gym for the children, for example, or STEM programs. These people probably don't have the least understanding of teaching STEM programs, but nonetheless, that's the way these people from the Wall Street guys are talking about. Now, if you want to, excuse me, I'm being attacked by a kamikaze fly. If you want to produce a dead zone, just overtax businesses, because when you pass a bond, keep in mind, it disproportionately targets businesses because they have more assets. So they have to, you know, they have a lot of things in there. They're worth more than the average home. And so they have a bigger percentage of the tax burden. and they drive rents up. So just because you don't own property or a rental, don't think it doesn't affect you. You're going to be driven out of the house you're in probably if this keeps going on. And the people that are retired or they're disabled and they're on a fixed income, they're going to be a force at some point. If these keep going up, what happens is they're forced to abandon their lifelong homes and move into these cheaper pod homes, the kind of things, so they can afford it because they can't afford the taxes anymore. And this is happening. I cite Chicago, or not Chicago, Illinois in general. There are these very wealthy areas that people were, they had these homes and they'd improved them over the years and decades that they'd lived there, but they passed bonds in these areas that they could no longer support. And the way it works is you think the bond is only a certain amount of people or a certain amount of dollars, but as people leave the area rather than pay this exorbitant tax, that bond still has to be paid. And guess what? As it's less and less people, there's no limit on what you have to pay. So that's what they're doing. And I think that here's how they've done it, though. I think this is one of the things I want to make sure people know. These plans are not devised locally. Vanguard was one of the big three corporations, you know, in 2011, Gladfelter and his group, they looked at who owns the 137 million corporations in the world. And it came down to essentially the few big corporations, these big banking firms and the big, and about probably 150 men that were actually in control of 80 some percent of the corporate wealth of the world. Well, since then, it's become clear that the companies have even consolidated more. So there's three big companies, Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock, that own the majority of corporations and companies and dollars in the world. And Vanguard is interesting because it went around and it figured out that how can we stress people off their land? Well, one of the things they did was they took over the assessor's jobs. And the way they did it was they designed software that the assessor's offices would use every year or whenever to reassess properties. But then when it came time to reassess the properties, instead of the little local assessor doing it, it was in fact the Vanguard people, because they're the only people that could do it. It's because it was their proprietary software. So this is what's happening. And that's why it's so important that you don't give away, don't be overspending at the local level, because they have ways of taking your land away based on this. That's what this is all about. It's not benign. It's not because, do you really think they care about your kids having better sports or better scientific program? Absolutely not. That's not what this is about. That brings me to my really kind of my last part there, is about the whole issue of AI. I just wanted to talk a little about this because, and I have to read this. Joe Allen. Okay, so Joe Allen was writing in a journal, and I can't remember the journal, but he was talking about, you know, we kind of think it is true that there's been a lot of issues of AI, and they've kind of made it sound like, oh, AI is not what it turned out to be. You know, the famous story about the lawyer used AI to produce some legal cases to document his point, and it turned out that those cases were made up by the chatbot. So, there is that. But what we're not appreciating is how much AI has learned to do in a very short period of time. So AI has, this is what's said here, AI has mastered genome sequencing, 3D protein modeling, radiology, brainwave analysis, data mining, facial recognition, natural language processing, social network mapping, stock valuing, evaluation, gaming, autonomous driving, robotic maneuvers, surveillance triggers, crime prediction, combat simulation, battlefield reconnaissance, target acquisition, and weapon system control. And in every case that I just mentioned, AI exceeds human performance. Okay. So I think it's important to, yes, although they can hallucinate and they can do things that we would call into question, they can come up with some strange things. That's going to get better and better. And you're not going to be, able to tell. I suspect it's not going to be long, or maybe we don't even know what's going on right now in terms of what's real and what's not. Let me just, I had this discussion actually at this recent medical meeting. Here's an interesting point. If you look to not at the source of knowledge, and so many young doctors are, you know, taught if it's not a 30-year double-blind study, if it's not published in a main medical journal, it's worthless. I'm just going to put another, a little wrinkle into that. And this is the story of medical publishing that I've recently unearthed. So after World War II, Alexander Fleming, who was one of the discoverers, or was a discoverer of penicillin, and Charles Darwin III, the grandson of Charles Darwin, the famous Charles Darwin, they got together and they went to the British government and said, we need better medical and scientific publishing. Look what happened in World War II with the Nazis and us and everybody. And so the government agreed, no problem. Got it. We can do that. We can do that right away. Why could they do that? Why could they make that plan right away without consulting with anybody? Because they owned the scientific publishing. More precisely, it was MI6 that owned Butterworth, which was the largest scientific publishing house in the world, I think, at that time. So they own. So our scientific publishing is probably worldwide. I can't prove it in our country, but I can prove things have been changing about how publications get done, and I'm going to mention some of those. So the publishing that we depend on for scientific data is in the hands of the intelligence services. I just want you to consider what that means. So and now with AI, it makes it so much easier for them. Years ago, Merck published their own medical journal. They claimed it was a peer-reviewed journal, but they were basically publishing their own journal, publishing their own papers, so doctors would use their pharmaceutical agents. And they got caught. They had to pay a few million dollars, which is absolutely nothing to a big conglomerate like them. But at the end of the day, it did kind of make people remember that scientific publishing can be corrupted. But these guys got more clever and they realized, well, we're not going to do that again. We got caught. Let's just write the papers and get ghost signers. And that's what I think they're doing. I mean, we have evidence that they're doing. Lehman McHenry has been on different shows and podcasts talking about that. And he's really an expert at looking at this. And they found multiple papers that, you know, that used to be, if you go back in 100 years in medical journals, you'll find one or two at the most authors on papers. Now you have an author list that's, you know, 50 lines long. Really? And often they're from overseas, China, India, Spain, but places that we can't really access easily to verify the reality of these authors. Now, interestingly, in today's electronic journals, when I was researching what was happening in COVID early on, there was an article that came out about the epidemiology of COVID in New York City and the effect of social distancing versus masking. Okay. And I read this article and I said, you've got to be kidding me. I can't believe any journal accepted this piece of garbage, because it was just a bell-shaped curve. And they claimed that the first part was doing nothing, so the disease was going up. And then at the flat part of the top of the curve, they said they instituted social distancing and we could see it flatten the curve. And then at the bottom of the curve, they said, hey, this is the effect of masking. Well, I superimposed on that bell-shaped curve the curve of Sweden, where they did none of that, and it was exactly the same. So I knew this paper was just a flagrant attempt at falsifying the reality of what was happening. Then I started, because in my day in academic areas, this wasn't available. You couldn't do this, but now you can hover over a person's name and it tells you who they are. And I discovered that two of the authors of this paper were chemical engineers. They weren't in New York City. They were out in California and Texas. So why are they signing on to this? And it gets worse, but I won't name names. But the point is that it's so easy now. Most doctors, when you read papers, what do you do? Most scientists may be the same. I don't know about the hard sciences like chemistry and chemistry and physics and stuff. But what happens is you have limited amount of time. So you see a title that you want to read, and there's an abstract, and that abstract at the top tells you the summary of what they're going to tell you. And then you can go down and you can read the details. One of the places that we used to skip over mostly was the details of how they did the study, because guess what? We trusted them. Well, not anymore. Now everything is going to be examined with a fine-tooth comb, or we just won't bother. So I think in the future, we're going to have the real truth, just like this is going to be like the Revolutionary War when we had the Committee of Committee of Correspondence. And it was people just one-to-one talking or writing letters or communicating privately, but they couldn't put it out in a big newspaper because they were talking about revolution. Well, that's essentially what's happening now. We can't, if you're a young doctor or you're a nurse or you're somebody reading medical literature and you think it can't be true if it's not there, just ask yourself, is it not true if it's not reported by CNN? It's exactly the same thing. The intelligence services own our media. They probably own a lot more of the scientific publishing than we realize, if not all. And now we're faced with looking and talking with each other again. That's the good news. We'll get back together and we're not going to be all stovepipe and just sitting at our computers. We'll have to actually talk about it. And the final point here is, even people on the good side of this fight, people that are really trying to significantly help people and change the world and figure out what's really going on, you have to be careful that you don't just spend your time wading through the scientific literature without taking a look outside at the real world. Science is about data gathering in the real world and then trying to make sense of it. And then when you come up with a theory, then you test the theory, you experiment, you come up with more data, you test the theory, and you try and you see if your theory actually then goes back and fits the real world. Well, what we're doing is we're doing the first derivative of this. We are actually just looking at what other people have said about the real world, and we're not doing it ourselves. We're going to have to be like the old time doctors that were all scientists. You know, they weren't just sitting in their little office or going out to make house calls. If they were really one of the guys that changed the world medically, they actually figured things out because they experimented on themselves. But we all experiment on themselves. We all do that. And always, it hasn't always been pleasant sometimes. And we also, we are observers of the real world and of patients. And I think that's what's really, really important. And then in the last minute here, I just, you know, because this is cocktails and craziness, so we can just throw anything we want in. I love bees. I think keeping bees is really a fabulous thing we all should be doing because there's a shortage of bees now in the world. But we had Jana Schmidt, who's a naturopath, I believe, down in Dallas, and she showed all the ways that bees are healthy. And it's true that beekeepers by profession are the longest lived people in the world. So we should be more in tune with nature and especially bees. And if you're thinking about doing something I did this years ago when my kids were homeschooled and we kept bees and it was a fabulous learning experience for everybody. Just something to think about. This is something you can get into. It's not a huge expensive hobby like race cars. You can do this on the relatively cheap and you'll really enjoy them. And you can sit down and listen to their hum. And they hum in the key of C. That's what I learned from them at the meeting. I learned from Jan at the meeting that they hum in the key of C. And also people with PTSD and all sorts of medical problems, you could sit between two hives and it improves, and you can be relieved of your problems in some cases. So I go down periodically. I wanted to know where the bees were one time, and I just put on my stethoscope and I auscultated the bees and listened to the hum of the bees. And I'm telling you, it's something you ought to get into. So I appreciate just the rambling tonight, and back next week with a guest. And thank you very much for your patronage. And please support the show by using the code REBEL in the Brighttown shop. And we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.